3 2 1.
Kerem Borsin, merhaba.
Merhaba.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Kerem, a fundamental question.
All right.
Are you happy?
That's a good question. Yeah, in general, I am. I don't think we're doing that well as humans in the world. So.
At all, actually.
Yeah. So, you know, with that, it's kind of like you're happy, but, you know, the place you're in is not doing well. So how happy can you really be?
You feel guilty if you're happy.
Sure. I mean, I don't know if I... It's more so, I think the guilt comes from helplessness and just the fact that, we need to, you know... Look, I mean, I'm someone who enjoys space, and I do like to do research into that stuff. And then when you look at space and how big it is, and the fact that we still haven't found a planet that is like ours that has over a billion living species, it's sad that we can't just get along and have a good time on a beautiful planet.
Evet.
You know?
Is happiness a choice or a decision?
I think it's a choice. I think it is a choice, essentially. Sure, there are times where I don't think we can help being happy because of someone or something or whatever. But essentially, I think it's, especially in this day and age, it's rather than a choice, it's work. You have to work to be happy, you know?
Who's your role model in life? Your mother or your father?
If we're going to go with family, both of them, I think they're two people who complete each other so well as parents. Where I felt like I was getting something great from one parent, the other parent would give me something great on the other side.
That's,
you know,
nice.
So they were a great team of, I was lucky enough to have a good team as a mother and father. So both.
What did you learn from your parents?
I think the main thing is respect. To respect cultures, people, doesn't matter what their socioeconomic background is, it doesn't matter what their religion is, it doesn't matter anything, just the fact that, you know, there's someone living in front of you, has emotions, has feelings, has a family like you or whatever, it doesn't... Yeah, so it essentially it comes down to just respecting people.
To respect humanity.
Yeah.
That's very important. This is what we lack right now, actually.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I think that's the main thing I learned from them. Because we traveled so much in my childhood, you come across something new, new culture, new everything. And so it was very important to just respect and understand.
You traveled a lot, like from Los Angeles to China, Malaysia, Dubai.
Yeah.
You learned how to adapt faster
the
new environment,
right?
But did it give you, like, do you have a problem now to settle?
Look, our time schedule was every 2 to 3 years we would change countries or cities, and so now I know, like, I've realized which Istanbul has been the longest I've ever lived in any city, which is almost 11 years, which is insane because I've only lived, the longest I've lived anywhere was 4 years. So when it comes to, like, living, like, now if I'm living in a house or in, you know, just where I'm living, after 3 years, I'm just kind of like, I gotta go.
I have to move, from the house.
I get the itch of, like, I gotta go. I need a change, so... Yeah.
It's even, you need to change, like, is it also like in a human relationship? You get bored?
You know, like...
Do you get bored so fast? Do you need, like...
That's a good question. I don't know, because I don't think I've ever had a relationship that lasted longer than 4 years. So I don't know. I should look into that.
Really?
I don't think so, though.
What about friendships?
Oh no, I have good friendships. I have good friendships. The only thing is with a life like that is a lot of my friends I had as a child, I don't know what they're doing anymore very much, because during those days you didn't have social media. So yeah, it was just kind of like when you were gone, you were gone.
Exactly. Yeah. So do you consider yourself lucky going around seeing or getting exposed to all these cultures?
Yeah, you know, I think it's relative. I mean, to someone it might be incredible, to another it might be a nightmare. But for my personality, yeah, I think I'm lucky, because I do like to explore and I do like to see the new in things. So it was good. It was definitely good.
You felt like you adapted well in the States. You always said that.
Yeah,
no?
I mean,
where did you adapt it the most?
I think, look, I had a great time, and I like, for me, where I was like, all right, this feels like home for me, was definitely Abu Dhabi.
Oh really?
Yeah, I loved it. So I guess as far as adaptation goes, I don't know there, but like, I mean, when I go back to Indonesia, where my childhood was, I mean, when I, you know, get off the plane and you smell the air, it's just kind of like, I'm like, all right,
this is
my childhood.
Where did you live in Abu Dhabi?
Well, I don't even know.
Which year was that?
90, I was in Dubai from 95 to 97, and I think from 97 to 2000 I was in Abu Dhabi. I moved to Texas in 2000, so yeah, it wasn't the Abu Dhabi we're used to, or the Dubai we're used to seeing now. It was beautiful. We were on the Corniche back then, but now it's definitely not the Corniche, you know, like back then it was the Corniche, but then they filled the water and then built more buildings. So now it's like not even
that
on the
is
Corniche.
Islands. That
yeah.
Is, you
know. Yeah, it's been a while.
So in the States, you lived like a local. You worked hard.
I did. I mean, look, I went to...
Tell me about your American dream there. How did it shape your personality?
Right.
Because if I see you now, I feel like you are.
What?
Like half American.
yeah, you know, I guess that's just because of the way I talk, maybe. But have I ever felt? Look, I mean, I think the most difficult part about living around the world is you start questioning your identity in the sense that, where do I belong? Am I Turkish? Am I, you know? Am I from UAE? Because all those countries, or Singapore, or you know, wherever, all those countries, you take from it. You know, you
shape you anyway.
Of course, you get inspired by the culture, this, that, the person, anything. And so there's a part of you, there's a part of that country in you that makes who you are. And so I think the most difficult time I had regarding that was when I was in America, because it was just kind of like, you know, you're in Texas and you're just like, all right, hey, you know, I'm Kerem from Turkey, and they're just kind of like, what was that first word, and what state is Turkey in? And you're just like,
especially
oh,
in Texas,
boy.
You know,
yeah.
Where in Texas?
Sugarland, Houston, right outside of Houston, and that's because oil. So yeah, I mean, look, in Houston, it's a huge expat population.
I know.
Because of oil. So it's not very much as we would think. But still, it does, you know, there is some of that.
Actually, half of my family are there.
Yeah?
They're all engineers. And
oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So you know, yeah. You know. But yeah, but after Texas, after high school, I went to Boston. And, you know, that's when you kind of realize, okay, there's a different mindset, you know.
Completely.
Very different mindset. Yeah. And then from Boston, I went to LA. And, you know, I guess for me, it was never the American dream, just so the dream of being an actor. But yeah, I think when I look back on it, the time I had in LA, it was good times. it was a struggle, but it was good times.
It's always a good time in LA, right?
Yeah. Well, look.
Actually, they tell me like it used to be. It's been like more than 5 years I didn't go.
Okay.
They said like it has changed a lot.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah. I heard that. I haven't been since the pandemic. And yeah, I've heard a lot of not cool things. And I heard a lot of people are moving to Austin now,
it's so true.
Which is the best city.
Tell me about your work there. What did you work? How did you... of course, you had the dream of becoming an actor.
Right, like everyone in LA. Yeah, you know, I think the toughest thing was when I first moved there, I was still studying. So it was my last year in college. And me and my friends, we went to this restaurant. It was our first night. And so everything is new. And we're just, you know, we're all actors. And we're all going to, you know, we're going to make it. And
even the waitresses are
I was just going to get. So this waiter comes who's, I think he was around like 60, late 60s. And, you know, he's welcoming us, giving the menus. And we're just like, you know, thank you and all this stuff. And he's like, what are you guys doing? You know, studying. We're going to be actors. And then he looks at us. He's like, yeah, you know, I came out here when I was your age. I wanted to be an actor. And we're just like, So that's the harsh truth about LA is I think, I mean, there's just so much around you that's, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, it's kind of like a mirror. We're just like, is that what I'm, what, like, am I going to be that in 50 years? Or am I going to be that in 40 years? Or am I going to be saying that? And then you go into like, you take workshops or acting classes and you just see so many incredibly talented people. And you're just like, damn, like this person like just gave an incredible performance, probably the best performance I've seen yet live. And they're, you know, there's
no one.
So that's harsh. That's I mean, that's harsh. But I think with that harshness, what's good is it really tests you on your love for the art or the game or whatever, you know, like, do you really want this? And that's something I dealt with a lot, because I mean, look, it wasn't easy. I was a driver. I worked at a gym. At first I was the towel boy of the gym. And so I was just like, you know, checking people in and then just cleaning all the dirty towels and cleaning up. And then I became a trainer. But before that, I mean, you know, I was a bouncer. I did bouncing for like very little, but worked at like a company. Yeah, you do so many different jobs and then you're just like, and you keep saying I'm an actor, but you're just like, I've done everything except but acting. And so I think for me, that was just kind of like, But then I got lucky. I got to meet Roger Corman. And I did a film in Mexico, an interesting Roger Corman film. And I guess for my luck, he won the Oscar that year. So the film got a lot of attention. Got a lot of spotlight. But it was an interesting film.
I didn't see it.
Oh, that's good. You don't need to see it. You know, it's one of those films where I was just kind of like in my mind, I'm like, all right, hopefully one day I'm going to get to make fun of this film, which I feel like I can now. Perfect. But it was good. Yeah.
In the States, you had like a very bad memory.
No.
You lost your best friend
in the car accident. Yeah. I mean, look. Yeah. I wouldn't say that's the States. It's life.
Was it a turning point in your life?
Yeah, definitely. I had come here a few months before the accident happened. My cousin was getting married and I had realized, I was like, wow, you know, I never knew anything about Turkish TV really. Or the fact that there was a huge industry in Turkey. And so did the wedding, saw some things, met some people, came back. Then the accident happened. And then I think that's when I started questioning a lot of things in the sense that, I mean, life is just, you know, you really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So is it, I don't know. I was really debating the fact that, you know, what is the point of all of this in the sense that like, I want to be an actor. I'm doing everything but acting. And I just, I don't know, I just, And it was coming to my third year or fourth year in LA. And so I was kind of like, you know what? I'm going to do what I do best and go. So I left.
To Turkey?
Well, I had to go. I had to go to the serve in the military. So I figured that was the best thing I could do was just go somewhere where I don't know anyone. And I have to do what I'm told, which is
so you didn't know anyone here in Turkey?
No, not really. I mean, my grandparents were here, cousins. But I mean, I didn't even speak the language properly. And so I went to the military, and then I didn't know if I wanted to do acting anymore.
You give up on your dream?
I didn't give up just yet, because once I came back from the military, I got, again, from Roger Corman, an offer to do a film in China, right when I was thinking about quitting acting. So I was like, all right, you know what? I might as well just go to China and do this film and see China, which was great.
How was it?
It was good. It was good. I don't know what happened to the film, but China was good.
You didn't watch the movie?
No. I haven't seen anything I've been in, but yeah, and then after that I was like, all right, came back to Turkey, and then just one thing led to another and here we are.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You're among the most handsome actors in Turkey.
Am I?
Of course.
Okay.
No, you doubt? You're not sure?
I mean, you don't
find yourself handsome?
I mean, I think that's just something, I don't know.
Come on.
I mean, let's be real though. Okay, anyways.
Why all of you Turkish stars, Turkish actors, you doubt yourself? Like, if I say you're handsome, like, am I handsome? And
really? Do
they
all do that?
Because I feel like it's more like, I know. Yourself, you take care of your looks and you make sure you look handsome.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you are handsome. You have, like, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, let me see this. It's fake, you know? Like,
think it again.
No. I mean, look, is it natural? I don't know. I mean, God, my manager upstairs is going crazy right now.
What do you mean? Is it natural?
Yeah, no, that's why I was like, oh, that was not a right. It's like, I got my lips done. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't know. I would not say I'm a handsome person. And I'm not saying that to be humble or anything. I just don't find myself handsome, and that's okay.
So you're against plastic surgery?
I mean, anyone who wants to do it can do it. I'm not one for it. Like, okay. I don't think I will do it unless I need to absolutely do it, maybe. I mean, I shouldn't say anything but who knows?
Why you should? You shouldn't. It's your opinion.
Look, you know, this is how I feel. I don't know. I mean, I think what the issue is, we are coinciding acting and good looks as if they're the same thing, and they're not. I mean, I don't think Robert De Niro ever was like an incredibly handsome.
No, yeah.
But
in
Turkey, he was Robert De Niro, yeah. And he was incredible, and that's because of his acting.
But you think in Turkey they relate beauty to acting?
Yeah, in Turkey, but I don't think it's only Turkey. I think. I mean, look, we have very popular, amazing actors that aren't also, I guess, what society would say incredibly handsome or beautiful or whatever, vice versa. I don't think, I think someone who's very beautiful or handsome isn't the greatest actress or actor. So they don't coincide. They're sure you will have a character who has to be, you know, sexy or hot or okay. Then you get the stylist, you get the makeup artist, you get this, you get that, and then you got something that's so good. True. But there's also a character who's, you know, ugly or just scary, and that's okay too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't have to literally find, you can, that's what we do is, you know.
So you should have
range
from everything.
Yeah.
And the screen has everything.
So I don't know. I think it's, you know, if we were talking about modeling, sure. But we're talking about acting. So I don't think good looks or beauty and acting, is unless we're going to focus on the whole, you know, bullshit side of it. Sorry. Which is, you know,
the, I think attitude is much more important than beauty.
Yeah. It's your charisma. It's, you know,
because sometimes you see like a very beautiful person.
Yeah.
With no soul. Like,
yeah. And you don't want to talk to that person five minutes later because it's just like, you don't even see, Like, looks is something that just comes and goes, and I think we all know that, so.
We take a break and we come back?
Sure.
Sen çal kapımı.
Yes.
Enta oturuk babi.
Say it again.
Enta.
Enta.
Oturuk.
Oturuk.
Babi. Babi.
Babi.
Evet.
Entra oturuk babi.
That's it.
What's up? All right.
Introduced you to the Arabic audience.
Okay.
With open doors, yani.
Very nice.
What's the common between you as Kerem Bursin and Serkan Bulat?
I don't know.
Your personalities?
No, because his...
Nothing?
I mean, of course there are some things, you know. I mean, the way he sits, the way he stands, no. But no, I think why he was fun was because it was just so far away from me, in the sense that he's very, you know, just... he has... And there was someone in my life who I was just like, this is exactly that person. He's very OCD, in the sense that, you know, the chair thing, but also his, you know, with people who have fast working minds, usually they're not patient. And so other people's pace really just disturbs them. And I also figured someone this successful, or, you know, however they coded him, I kind of wanted to, for me, he was someone that was probably somewhere on the autism spectrum. I would say he had, there is something there. You know, his social skills weren't that great. He was, you know, just...
He was control freak also.
Control freak, didn't care about, like, you know, what society deems normal or what's okay to say, what's not okay to say, you know.
What about you?
I don't know, I'm not like that.
At all?
I mean, I'm not very patient, but no, I'm not. We're not very similar. Oh, it's been a while. It's been so long. It's been, what, almost 2-3 years since I played that character. So it's been a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Turkey,
actors
don't keep the highest rating for a long time.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, ya çok seversin. It ended very fast.
Yeah.
His ratings went down. So, how do you personally rate it?
All right. You know, that's a good question, because what makes a TV show keep going?
Ratings.
Not really. Why? Because the cost of a TV show doesn't make its money from the ratings. If the ratings are super up, that is not, it still won't compensate what it costs to make a TV show.
You mean advertisements?
Advertisements, of course.
Okay.
Now, the system here is a little different than the system, I guess, in America.
Even in the Arab countries?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know how it is in the Arab countries, but the way I know it is, if your show is a popular show and it's doing well, then you get your 30 seconds of commercials cost a lot more, because you have a lot more viewers. So that's not the way it really works here.
Okay.
So if you have a lot of viewers, or if you don't have a lot of viewers, you're still paying, or the commercial, you know, if it's a, I don't know, I'm not going to say anything, but if it's a this cup commercial, they're going to pay the same price for the 30 seconds there. They're going to pay the same price for the 30 seconds there. The thing is, that makes a difference, is if my rating is, instead of a 4, a 10, then I multiply that and this and that. So it's not necessary, that's why they're an hour and a half or 3 hours long with commercials, because however many commercials you put, that's as much money as you get. But every show does that. So it doesn't really apply into, I mean, a show can do really well, it can cost a lot, the ratings can be great, but if it has no sales, like global sales, it's not easy for it to continue. So the main thing that makes a show, what I've realized, continue here is global sales.
Okay.
Because our shows here get sold, one episode, you multiply it by three, because our one episode is three episodes for you, because you split it to 45, 45, 45. So, I mean, look, San Chal Kapımı didn't have great ratings, but it was selling like crazy internationally. And it had, I mean, international. The international audience was way larger than the Turkish audience, and that's why it went for 54, I think, episodes. And so we have to look at it that way. So for Ya Çok Seversen, you know, I think it was a little different there because it wasn't a show that I was planning on doing. With Ayyapım, we made a schedule.
Why you didn't want to do it?
No. I didn't say I didn't want to do it. It wasn't a show I was planning on doing in the sense that I was planning on doing another show.
Oh, okay.
But then the script came. The other show had some kinks. Is a show I wrote.
A show you wrote?
Yeah. And so I liked the script. I liked the fact that it was Ya Çok Seversen. I think what I liked about it more so than anything was the fact that, you know, it had, you know, three kids, main characters. But look, I mean, sometimes you plan something, it doesn't go the way you want it to, or you plan something, it goes a different direction. But I think for all of us, it was just kind of like, I enjoyed it. But I think 13, that's what, I mean, it could have gone longer, like I said, because of the international sales. But I think for all of us, producer, me, Hafsa, direct, like we're, you know, the writers, 13 is as far as we could take it. Or else I'm sure a lot of people would have loved to have made more money. But on the other side, I mean, I also kind of want to take my life in another direction. Like I said, writing, hopefully one day directing. I love acting, but I do want to give some more, give back, you know?
That's nice.
Yeah. So.
So some people felt that in this show, Ateş was a copy of Serkan Bulat.
You know, I feel like everyone's going to say that or say, well,
and look. I watched it.
Uh-huh.
I loved both of them.
Oh, thank you.
And there is a little bit of the...
Of course. You know, I think just because of the genre, I mean, there are so many times where, and granted, everyone was great about it. There's so many times we had to tweak things, fix things. There was a scene. I was just like, look, this, you know, I have a very similar scene in another show I did. Okay. And, you know, so like there, you know, it's tough. Because at the end of the day, you have a script to work
exactly.
with. And you can't really be like, you know what I'm saying?
I know. Is it true that you cannot watch or you don't want to watch yourself on screen?
Yeah.
How do you judge or criticize yourself?
My directors I trust, whoever I'm working with, or I feel like if I'm doing a very horrible job,
they will tell you.
Well, I mean, also I'll know for sure. Somehow I'll know. I don't know. I think my job is done once I'm done doing my thing. Like I'm not really. I don't know, like, I do say this to a lot of my friends or, you know, who are directors and people I've worked with. You know, if it's something very interesting that, like, that has to do with effects or, you know, something that I'm not seeing physically as I'm acting, you know, then I think I would be curious to see, oh, what did they do? You know, what does the dragon look like or whatever? But, I don't know, I'm not into watching myself.
You should try. You look good on screen.
Do I?
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Why actors fall in love with each other during filming?
That is a good question. All right. I'm gonna give you the honest answer.
Take your time.
Yeah. No. You know, I don't know if it happens to a lot of actors.
We've heard a lot of stories.
Yeah?
Yeah, regarding many actors.
Yeah, you know, I think I trust. Look, I mean, I think anything that just, you know, actor or no actor, I think the most important thing with a relationship or anyone you want to be with is, can you trust the person or not? And that goes both ways for a man and a woman. And so with acting, especially with your partner, if you don't have that trust, then you're going to have a difficult time. I'm not saying it's impossible, but with that trust, then you're in an incredible playground. And so you get that, you know that person can trust you. You can trust that person. And I mean, look, some like I mean, if it happens, it happens. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens. And I think it's okay. You know, what can you do? You're on set 16, 17 hours every day. And
isn't it hard to differentiate between the real character of the girl and her character in the story?
Oh, I mean, sure. I'm sure. I don't know. Do let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Once the show is done, do the relationships usually go on?
Well, this is my question. No,
I don't know either, because you just said something so interesting, which is, you know, how do you differentiate the characters? Obviously, you can, but I don't know.
Look, to some extent, you know?
To some extent, but it's not like we're doing Shakespeare, so it's, you know what I'm saying? We're doing, I mean, if we're going to take in accordance to like a romantic comedy or something like that, you know, it's possible.
Can an ex-girlfriend become a friend?
Of course. Of course. You know, I've always been someone who just never understood the other side of it. Like, you know, becoming enemies. It makes no sense. You know, you spend all that time with someone. It doesn't make him a bad person if, you know, the relationship ends. It doesn't make anyone a bad person. Unless, of course, someone did something horrible. But at the end of the day, I feel like if you've spent any amount of time with someone and shared something romantically with that person, then yeah, like that's someone you can get along with. And it's just sad that once that ends, a relationship ends. I mean, because I think the foundation and basis of everything is friendship and romance.
Basically, it's trust. And since you have trust with the one
But you know, I mean, look, this is, I don't know, like, I mean, I know a bunch of people that would be like, I'd never be friends with my ex. I'm not someone like that. I'm okay with that.
How many times have you fallen in love so far?
Oh gosh.
Should we count?
No, because it's not a lot. I don't think I've fallen in love that much. Probably twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
You can name them if you want.
That's right.
Okay. Tell me about your first love.
It was great. I mean, it was the first time I was feeling something like this. So, you know, I was young. I was 18.
What are you looking for in a woman?
I think it's just, I don't think it's a criteria of like, I think it's just.
Charisma for sure.
Well, sure. But like, I mean, I what I was going to say is more so in general, I think what.
Smart, مثلا.
Look, these are all like, yeah, I mean, I would want all of those things in a friend as well. You know what I'm saying? I think for me, what's important, and I've always said this, is just, you know, to be able to look into that person's eyes and just really know that, like, you know what? If I just want to go and be a carpenter or sell shoes on the street and, like, move somewhere and that person's always going to be there next to me, that's it, you know? Like, it doesn't matter as long as you're the team. Doesn't matter for them, it doesn't matter for you, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I guess that's what I'm really looking for when I you see that in the
actually
eyes.
Actually, stability.
Stability, but like also in the sense that, like, I mean, I don't know, I think you question a lot of things, like, you know, I mean, I do sometimes, like, I don't know, like, I think it's important to be able to know no matter what. And, you know, I think that's like no matter what.
Yeah.
If you lose everything, if, you know, something happens to your health or and she's just gonna anything. She's going
to be there for you.
Yeah. Or you're going to be there for that person.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think in this day and age, especially, that's not easy to find.
Do you have a type?
No. I don't think so. Not like a specific
type. I know you don't have type because each one is different than the other.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah. No, but our female audience would love to know.
I mean, look, I think it's just
long.
No, look, short. I mean, I wasn't even thinking about physical. Sure, it's, I'm not gonna say it's not important. Everyone knows it's important. That's why it's like a multi-billion dollar industry. But
that's smart.
So it is important. But like you said, you know, if you talk to someone who has nothing going on in here or in here for 5 minutes, who might be the world's most attractive person, doesn't matter, because that's not a connection. So I think, you know, anyone I can really connect with, then you just see where it goes from there.
A package.
I mean, you know.
How many times have you ever been heartbroken?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I have been. I don't know, a couple of times.
A couple of times. How many times you broke someone's heart? 100 times. Okay.
No. I don't know. I hope I haven't, but I don't know.
Have you been in a toxic relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Ever?
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah. Who hasn't? Really?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow, it's amazing.
I cut it.
Oh, it's good.
Cut it short immediately.
But maybe you're the toxic one.
Oh, you never know. Think.
You might be the toxic one, so you never know. If you're the one who's only cutting it, then I think there's something toxic going on there. No, I don't know. I have. It's not fun. It's not fun. And I feel like anyone that's, and it's not something that light either. Like, you know, I think we're laughing about it like a toxic, but like toxic relationship can be very detrimental on like the soul, the mind, the body. And so, yeah, anyone watching this who's in a toxic relationship, definitely realize it and get out.
Because, I think no one should tolerate or accept this.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one.
I agree.
Did you ever been cheated on?
Recent times? No. When I was a kid, yeah. Yeah.
No, not kid. No.
I don't know. I mean, if I have been,
you're not gonna tell me.
I have no
me.
Idea. No, I haven't. Okay. No, I've been lucky. But like I said, I don't know.
Are you a cheater?
No.
Never?
No.
Do you believe in karma?
Of course.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah. That's not the reason I don't cheat, or it's just like, if we want to circle back the conversation, something I learned from my family, respect, cheating is not respectful.
Of course.
So it's probably one of the worst things you can do to someone. So no.
I'd like to know how do you define love?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I feel like I'll tell you this, what I've realized so far in my journey in life is it changes. Your definition of a lot of things change as you grow, or as you keep going along. So I don't know. I'm excited to find the person that helps me define what that is, but I don't know what it is.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Inshallah, you'll find this person.
Inshallah.
The best example of love you always give was the love of your grandparents.
Yeah.
But you never told the story.
Oh, it's a long story. I don't know. I mean, they've been together. They were madly in love.
Cute to know grandparents madly in love.
Yeah. Still, I mean, even to this day, when I talk to my grandmother about my grandfather, I mean, you know, you can see it, you can feel it. She talks to him every day. That's beautiful. You know, that's absolutely beautiful. I've always wanted to be an early dad and a young husband, but you just can't, it doesn't happen if you just want it, you know?
No. This is the only thing you cannot work for.
But I've always seen it in my family, and that's why I think I've always wanted that, because I've always seen it in my family. In my family, there's some great, beautiful relationships that made it hard on me.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, you have.
It's like tough, you know, because you also the have. Best in front you know what's you know what's possible.
You have standards in love. Let's put it this way. You are an advocate for women's rights,
right?
And you're a feminist.
Mm-hmm. I definitely support feminist politics. Yeah.
How can gender equality be achieved between men and women? This is the $100 million question.
Right. You know, I think. It's men, you know, the issue is with men and a patriarchal system. And so once men realize and wake up to this, then I think that's really when change can come, you know, which is, you know, also something what he for she advocates for is, you know, for men need to join the conversation. Men need to be a part of the conversation because they're very much a part of the problem. So, yeah. it's just men realizing. And I know in Turkish there's like a saying that's just like, you know, like kind of like protecting or staying behind our women, and it's just kind of like, no, you just need to move away, like,
yeah,
just don't be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And
give her space.
She'll know exactly what to do and do very, like, you know, I think unfortunately the male mind is more so, all right, you know, we'll support. No, it's she like, that's the thing. This. You don't need that. You're the one putting the obstacles and you're the one making it hard. Right. So yeah, it's a system, worldwide system based off of patriarchy. So
if you see a man abusing a woman on the street, what would you do?
I would definitely go in the middle of it.
You'll hit him?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if, I mean, if it comes, I don't know. But I'll definitely go in the middle of it and try to remove him away from the situation for sure.
If you hear a sexist comment on this set, what would you do?
I definitely express that I'm not okay with that.
What about the gender movement happening now? What's your opinion about it? Especially with the kids' involvement.
What do you mean?
Like, kids can pick their gender at 2 and 3 years old. Are you okay with that?
I mean, look, I don't know, because I don't know what it means to be a parent. I don't know what it is. I think we need to start, I don't know, we're going into a whole different can of beans because, I mean, if you ask me, I don't think everyone should be a parent.
That's true.
Well, I mean, we're so put in line and in check with so many different, like, to even drive a car, right? What do you need to do? You need to get a license. You need to go to a checkup. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to blah, 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 you know? I mean, in some countries, guns. Right? What do you need to do? I'm not going to talk about America because their gun control is horrible. But, and so becoming a parent, I don't know. I don't know. It's easy. Right. And so, are we doing a good job parenting when we look at the world? I mean, if we analyze any business like we do, if we analyze the world as a business we were to analyze, we're just in the wrong direction.
Of course, not right? only with kids, with so many other things.
Well, yeah, you know? But I mean, it's all a circle, yeah, right? A circle. How you raise, what you become, this, that, who the, you know, like divorce. Divorce in the world is...
It's crazy.
Past 50%.
Actually, marriage is...
That's what I'm saying, marriage, right?
No one is getting married anymore.
And I mean, look, if they are,
it's a circle.
Yeah.
Is it true that pink is your favorite color?
Powder pink. Yeah. I like powder pink.
So let's have a break.
Yeah.
And come back.
All right.
You lived in Dubai and you went to Lebanon for your sister's wedding.
Yeah.
Your sister is married to an Egyptian man.
Yes.
So you're familiar with the Arabic culture a bit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell me a bit. What do you know about Arabic culture?
I mean, like I said, you know, having an expat lifestyle, of course. I mean, what was interesting is the time I was living in Dubai and Abu Dhabi is, you know, there's a lot of expats, as you know. There's, you know, but there's a lot of people from the region. And then obviously you have, you know, the Australians and the Americans and the Canadians. But I had a lot of Lebanese friends.
They're the best, right?
look, I love Lebanon. I do love Lebanon. And the time I spent there for my sister's wedding was great. It was a blast. Probably shouldn't say that.
We have to take you again.
Huh?
We have to take you to Lebanon again.
Yes. Yeah. No, I definitely need to go. It's a lot of fun. It's great. I mean, look. And with the Arabic culture, I mean, it's a beautiful culture. I'm just thinking about like...
It's so close to the Turkish culture, no?
Of course.
Similarities?
Definitely. You definitely see similarities. But I don't know. There's just... for me, like, I'm just thinking about, like, it's a heartwarming feeling. You know, if you were to ask me what feeling does it bring to you, I would say heartwarming. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that was the relationships I had with a bunch of people, even people I didn't know, that you would just meet. It's just very,
you feel like you know them,
heart,
like,
yeah, yeah, very, very warm, mm-hmm. very warm people. It's good. It's good. I miss it. I look, it was, like I said, it's a big part of who I am today because it was my childhood.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So since you like it, I'm going to give you the option of choosing any sentence in Arabic. Mm. Choose wisely, okay? Wisely.
Yeah.
All right. Any sentence and I will teach you in Arabic.
Any sentence that I want to say?
Yeah. Choose wisely again.
Oh gosh.
Be careful.
Yeah. I hope you have a good day. How do you say that?
Inshallah.
Uh-huh.
This is inshallah. Same. Yeah, yeah, inshallah. You'll have a good day.
What? Oh, I was like
actually in Lebanon we were just saying.
Okay. I was like
no, inshallah.
Uh-huh.
Ikun. Nharkun.
What?
Inshallah.
Ikun. Inharkun.
Sa'id.
Sa'id. Inshallah, ikun inharkun sa'id.
Shukran. Wanta kamal.
Afwan.
Afwan.
Right? Is that right? Yeah. Okay. There we go. All right.
Okay. Can you live one day without checking your Instagram?
Definitely.
Really?
Yeah. 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 I mean, I can live months without checking it. Yeah. I mean, there was a point in my life where, when was this? Like a couple of years ago, where I would forget I had social media. Look, I'm someone who, you know, I have my phone, but I'll usually look at my watch, which I don't have on, to, like, you know, something I like to do is, like, I'll ask people if they have a watch what time it is. And and it's just so important to me to see if they'll check their phone or their watch. And I think that's a big tell on that person. Yeah, I like sometimes I'll see something. I'm like, wow, it's so beautiful. I wish I had my camera with me so I could take a photo of it. And, you know, so I don't really use my phone. I just use my phone to message and talk.
Are you reachable?
Am I what?
Reachable?
No.
You don't even answer your phone.
I'm not. And it's not that I'm like, oh, I'm just so unreachable. It's not that at all. I just don't like. I don't have a good relationship with my phone. So there's a lot of times I won't reply to messages at all.
Mm.
Right? Right. A lot of times I don't answer. Yeah. And there's a lot of friends I've lost because of this. But it's just, I don't know. I think it's weird.
I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
I realize that true friends, they understand this.
Exactly.
Because if you don't want to answer, doesn't mean you don't care.
No, egg saying, yeah, such a good, yeah.
I don't feel like answering.
Exactly.
I will call you when I feel good.
Exactly.
So I don't give you this negative energy that I have now. Just
there we go.
Let it go.
Yeah. Right?
The name of this podcast is Bala Tasnif, Unlabeled.
All right.
How important it's for you to live without labels and prejudgments?
It's important. It's very important. Yeah, it's important.
It's important.
Yeah.
So, I'll give you this basket.
Okay.
And these are labels.
All right.
You're going to read it out loud. And you can put it there. And the label you accept, you put it here. And the one you don't accept,
in the basket.
You throw it in the basket.
All right.
Can you please put it on the couch because...
Sure, sorry.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
These are about me.
Right.
Okay. All right. Kit Amberson. Gentleman.
Right. No?
I mean...
Everyone is laughing, by the way. I don't know why.
Upstairs, right?
Yeah.
Well, look, I feel like a gentleman or a lady is a very patriarchal concept.
Okay.
That's why I'm going to say I don't agree with it because of that reason. Or else I do. It's just, yeah.
Tell me.
Sorry. Oh, gosh. Kit Amberson, drama queen. You know, I think sometimes, sometimes, hey, we all are sometimes. I can't, I'm gonna.
See, we know you very well.
A little bit. you can ask my manager. Kerem Bürsin, a robot. No. Abnormal. Yes.
You said that.
Abnormal.
What? In what way you're abnormal?
I mean, I don't think I am very normal. Yeah, I don't think I'm very normal.
Why?
I don't know. Because I think a lot of the things that we deem normal are just very weird for me. So I think that's why. I think it's interesting. Like, as societies in the world, the things we agree on are the things we deem okay. I find very, very shocking and interesting. So I guess
is it a way to say like I'm unique?
I mean, well, you're the one who put abnormal. So if it said unique, I'd say definitely. But
okay.
I guess I'm abnormal.
I should add one more. Okay.
Writer, author. I mean, right. I'm gonna say no because right now I'm not. Okay. Hopefully, in the near future, I'll be able to put that on the yes pile. And also, like I said, I've been writing scripts lately, so hopefully soon.
Romantic.
One is. Oh, one is very romantic, yeah. One is definitely a love story. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Inshallah.
Yeah, I hope so. The F word.
I don't know if you knew what I mean by this because you don't use the F word.
Never. never. But no, nevertheless, I will put
these
this in the...
These are two papers.
Yes. Oh, shh.
You're right. Missing one.
Oh, wow. it's funny that you made sure I didn't put this one away. A good kisser. You know, since I've never kissed myself, I don't know how I kiss, but I'm sure there are a few people we can ask. They could answer.
Let's call them. Let's call them.
I don't have their numbers. so I don't know.
What would they say?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Gray zone. That's
the
gray
I don't know
zone.
Pile.
This is the gray zone.
Living without regrets. I try to. So yeah, I try to. Stubborn. Yeah, I still am.
You are?
A little bit. Okay. A little bit. Control freak. Not so much. Flirty. Am I flirty? Oh, I am? No, that sucks.
That's dangerous, you're asking for
a well, no, I mean, I might think it's not. I'm flirty.
Is he?
I'm flirty.
He is, right?
Am I really? That's just being nice. Really?
No, there is a difference between flirty and nice.
All right.
No, you're cheating.
Passionate. Yes, I am passionate. Okay. I do believe passion is a very important ingredient. A CEO of a company. I do have a company, but I wouldn't label myself as, you know, I'm just one of the people who work there. Selfish. I guess, again, you have to ask other people. I don't think I am.
Okay.
But I am sure there will be someone in the world who'd be like, that guy's selfish. I don't think I'm selfish, though. Perfect. I try not to be.
Since no one knows us better than ourselves, end this podcast with the sentence that describes you the most.
Oh, geez. I'm an abnormal... passionate, possibly good kisser. No, I'm kidding. I don't know about myself.
Yes.
I'm just, you know, honestly, I feel like I'm just someone who, this is going to sound so cheesy.
No, just say it. It's okay.
I really do. I do care and do want, the better for this world. So, yeah, the world. That doesn't mean humans only, but like the world. So, yeah, that's something that I do hold very dear and do care about a lot. That's who I am.
Kerem Bursin.
Yeah.
We say cut.
Say cut. Thank you.
Thank you.